Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to this installment of the Steel Conversation. I'm your host, Brian Diardo of CBS Sports, reminding you to check out all of our NFL coverage on CBSSports.com. The Steelers, obviously, one of the 32 teams that we tackle. I'm specifically one of the writers that focuses on the black and gold. Never really a dull day as it relates to the NFL, specifically the Pittsburgh Steelers. And really the genesis of this podcast is talking about the Steelers' 2022 schedule. It's an interesting one, not as hard as last year's schedule for the Steelers, which was the toughest in the NFL in terms of opponents' win percentage from the previous year. But it still is one of the hardest schedules in the NFL. It's tied for 12th. The teams they faced last year, or that they will face this year based on last year's record, was about, I think, 51.2%. So a plus 500 record. One of my jobs at CBS every year is predicting what I think the Steelers' record is going to be once the schedule comes out. I usually tend to go on the optimistic side. I think in the past, maybe 2017, 2018, you know, I would usually put them at maybe 12 or 13 wins, which I think in 2017, that was pretty accurate. The Steelers ended up going 13-3 that season. Not so much the case in 2018. The Steelers stumbled to a 9-6-1 record, didn't make the playoffs. One of the more disappointing years in recent memory. Last year, I projected the Steelers going 10-7 once I initially looked at their schedule. I knew it was going to be a hard schedule, but I also thought that given what they had on defense, given the fact that Ben Roethlisberger was going to have another year removed from that surgery, he was going to have a full year to work out and not rehab, I liked their chances, and I thought that the draft, getting Pat Freiermuth, obviously didn't think he'd be as good as he was as a rookie, but I thought he'd contribute. And Najee Harris, I thought that they would really add something to the team. And I thought that just the continuous emergence of Deontay Johnson certainly wouldn't hurt either. And it kind of turned out that was the case. They finished 9-7-1. It was a lot different than I thought. I didn't expect as many ups and downs as last season ended up being. But nevertheless, they finished close to that 10-7 mark. They made the playoffs before they fell to the Chiefs. And, this year I have them at 11-6. And you can see my entire article on CBSSports.com where I go through each game and each matchup and kind of break down what I think is going to happen. And I also preview a little bit some of the teams they'll be facing. I'm not going to lie. I got a little bit of blowback after I projected an 11-6 season. I think a lot of people think that I'm being a little too generous in my projections. But my thinking is this. The Steelers are a better team than they were last year. And the schedule that they're going to play is easier. So if both of those things are true, then why wouldn't you think they'd win more games than the previous year? To me, that's kind of a no-brainer. And, I initially thought about putting them at 10-7, but to me, I think that's just too safe of a pick. I think if you're going to project that they're going to be better, you may as well, go for, go for the 11 mark. If you're going to go big, may as well go big. And so for me, I just figured let's make it 11-6. And I'm not just doing that for the sake of doing it. I believe looking at their schedule, they can win 11 games. And as most of you know out there that are listening, and thank you for listening, hopefully we can do this a lot, not just in the off season, but especially when the regular season ramps up. I'm sure a lot of you, as most of you know, the NFL is more so now than ever a quarterback league. So the first thing I look at when I look at the schedule is, who are the quarterbacks that the Steelers and other teams, who are they going to be facing? If you've got a schedule where you're going to be playing, Matthew Stafford, Tom Brady, Joe Burrow, and Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, if you've got a lot of those guys on your schedule, that's going to decrease your win projections as far as I'm concerned. And most people probably when they're projecting schedules. So that's the first thing that you look at. You also look at historically how, you know, teams do against certain quarterbacks. So, yeah, Lamar Jackson's a great quarterback, but the Steelers historically have done very well against him. I think the only time he's beaten them was in 2019, and the Steelers largely did a good job against him. I think he had three or four turnovers in that game, and it took overtime for the Ravens to win, and that was a game that Ben Roethlisberger didn't play and Mason Rudolph was injured in. So, you know, this look at Deshaun Watson, much smaller sample size, but the Steelers had success against him when he was with the Texans in 2020. Now, that being said, the Steelers, Watson's going to have a much different situation than Cleveland, but the Steelers have historically done well against Cleveland. You know, they swept them last year. I know they lost in the wild card game, but, I am not as high on the Browns as a lot of people. Not many people are that high on the Browns anymore. I think a lot of people right now with the Browns, it's much more wait and see. But when you look at the Steelers and you look at my projection at 11-6, along with looking at the quarterbacks, which really, again, the Steelers, when you look at the quarterbacks they're going to face, yeah, they're facing Josh Allen in Buffalo. I'm checking that off as a loss. They're playing Tom Brady at home. I'm going with a loss there. So those are two losses, but the other quarterbacks they're facing, there's some question marks. I mean, again, Lamar Jackson, the Steelers have success against him. Now, I would put Joe Burrow in the category of Lamar Jackson. Nobody's in Tom Brady's category. But Burrow is in that next tier. And if the Steelers can split with Cincinnati, which I projected that they will do that, then, I would consider that a win. So, I think for the Steelers, when you look at their schedule, there's games that they're going to face top-tier quarterbacks, and they'll probably lose those games. They have to win the rest of their games. They've got to be able to split with Cleveland. They've got to be able to split with Baltimore and Cincinnati. I think, being 500 in that division, which surprisingly to many, the Steelers were 4-2 last year. But if you can, in that division, be 500, that sets yourself up to have success. When you look at the rest of their schedule, this is not a murderer's row schedule. The Steelers are playing the NFC South, which includes Carolina, which, they have Sam Darnold currently at quarterback. They also drafted Matt Corral. You look at Atlanta. They currently have Marcus Mariota, and they have Desmond Ridder backing him up, another rookie. So those are two games that – now they're road games, but those are two games that – the Steelers need to win. New York, the Steelers have the Jets coming in, Zach Wilson, that's a game the Steelers need to win. Now, this is a tough game, but again, if the Steelers are going to get to that 11-win mark, this is a game they need to win. The Patriots coming in week two. Pittsburgh will be coming off of a game against Cincinnati in week one. I projected them to lose that game. So I don't see the Steelers falling to 0-2. I know that New England has had Pittsburgh's number, but that's largely been with Tom Brady under center. So if the Steelers can beat Matt – now, I do think that Mac Jones is obviously the best of the next tier of quarterbacks the Steelers are going to be facing. I mean, he's better than Sam Darnold. He's better than Marcus Mariota. Is he Joe Burrow? No. Is he Deshaun Watson? No. But, he's certainly a quarterback that, I would not consider him a gimme. I mean – and all due respect to him, because he could be better, get better later in his career. But to me, Zach Wilson, that's the quarterback the Steelers should be. Second-year quarterback, they're getting him early in the season. He's still a very young guy. Steelers should be able to confuse him and beat him. They should be able to do that against Jones, but I'm not just going to go ahead and assume that they will, just because of the fact that he's coached by Bill Belichick. He was coached in college by Nick Saban. He did a very good job last year in leading the Patriots to the playoffs. And kind of like the Steelers, it was a little bit unexpected. So that being said, let's actually dive into more of the specifics of the Steelers schedule here. Looking at the Steelers schedule, and as most of you know, this year, with the 17-game regular season, the Steelers are going to have 8 games at home, 9 on the road. They're going to rotate that every year. So last year the Steelers had 9 home games, 8 road games. It's flipped this season. It's going to be that way until the NFL gets to the 18-game regular season, which will happen at some point during this new CBA, which came out a couple of years ago. So as I mentioned, I have the Steelers losing in week one to the Bengals. And the Bengals actually, the spread on that game is actually already out. The Bengals are a 6-point favorite. They swept Pittsburgh last year. They've won 3 straight over the Steelers, which is crazy because considering the Steelers had won 10 straight against Cincinnati from 2015 to 19, or actually went into 2020, they've lost 3 straight since. So then New England comes in a week later. New England's projected at 8.5 wins this season, according to William Hill Sportsbook. I have Pittsburgh winning that game. Then they have Cleveland on Thursday night. This really, to me, might be the difference between the 11 and the 10 wins right here. You know, assuming they're 1-1 after 2 games. And I think that's a fair assumption. Because, I mean, they certainly could go to Cincinnati and upset the Bengals. I don't think they will. But, and I don't know where I read this, but I saw it recently. Teams that had just played in the Super Bowl and lost tend to not fare well in their first game after the Super Bowl the next season. I don't know where I saw that stat, so of course I can't attribute whoever put that out there. But, you know, yeah, I mean, there's certainly a chance the Steelers could upset Cincinnati if they're able to establish their running game, if they're able to, ride the early wave of energy and momentum that's going to be coming from that game. I mean, it's going to be the Bengals' first game after winning the AFC. I mean, their fans are going to be fired up. Now, it's a 1 o'clock game. If this was like an evening game or this was like a 4:25 game, I would, if you're a Steeler fan, you'd be even more concerned. 1 o'clock game, it'll still be a great atmosphere, but it may not have the electricity if this game maybe was on prime time. So, so it could happen. But just based on what I saw last year, which was 2 thorough dominating games by the Bengals, I see them winning this game. Again, though, the Steelers, had a similar week one last year against Buffalo, and they won that game. So, you never know. And the Steelers won that game. They won it by not shooting themselves in the foot. I don't think they committed any turnovers. I know they won the turnover margin in that game. Najee Harris wasn't great, but he got better as the game went on. I mean, that was his NFL debut, for crying out loud. So, don't want to be too hard on him, but he had some good runs later in the game. Ben Roethlisberger made some timely completions. He had that impressive one on the sidelines on the near side to Chase Claypool in that game that I think led to a score. And the defense was lights out. I mean, T.J. Watt, started his Defensive Player of the Year campaign with a couple of sacks and a turnover. And so, yeah, it's certainly possible. But let's just assume the Steelers are 1-1 after 2 games. Now they go to Cleveland on a Thursday night. Everybody remembers what happened the last time the Steelers went to Cleveland on a Thursday night. They lost, and it was the Mason Rudolph-Myles Garrett game. Now, the Steelers, again, they swept Cleveland last year. And Cleveland played with an injured Baker Mayfield the whole season, so they won't have that anymore. But when you look at these two teams, they're very similar in terms of talent. I would argue that, and again, I thought this last year when Cleveland came to Pittsburgh late in the season. With Baker Mayfield at that point, everybody knew he was hurt. My assumption was that Cleveland would just run the ball. They had a clear advantage running the football with Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. The Steelers had the league's worst run defense last year. And that really wasn't because of the personnel. It was largely because of the injuries they had. And Stephon Tuitt not playing, Tyson Alualu not playing. The Steelers had to plug in some reserves. Chris Wormley did a really good job last year for the Steelers in that role, but still, they were 31st against the run, 32nd against the run, whatever it was, and I just thought Cleveland would come in and try to take advantage of that, and they didn't. And Kevin Stefanski, if there's one criticism I have of him, it's that he is too pass-happy of a play caller. And really, when the Steelers, and this is something that I'm surprised has never really picked up steam or much attention, when the Browns beat the Steelers in that wild card game, Alex Van Pelt was calling the plays. I thought the Browns offense was much more balanced in that game. They kept the Steelers off balance in that game. Stefanski did not call the plays because he was in the COVID protocol. He watched that game in his basement. So, I think that Steelers, I was surprised that the Browns didn't you know, exploit the Steelers with their running game when they played in the second time last year. And so, you know, because of that, it comes, when two teams are evenly matched, a lot of times I look at the coaching and the quarterback play. You know, what made the Steelers' schedule harder to predict this season was the unknown at quarterback. I kind of made those projections with the thought that regardless of who's quarterback, the Steelers are going to have a good team, and they should be in position to win anywhere between 8 and 11 games. And I just went with the 11 because when I looked at the matchups, I assumed, and, I do believe, and I firmly believe this, you know, when Mitch Trubisky has a good team around him, he can win games. I mean, you saw that in 2018 when the Bears won the division, and he played well that season, was a Pro Bowler. So I am expecting the Steelers to have a good team. If they're healthy, they'll have a good team. If the injuries they suffer are minimal and not, you know, significant season-ending ones to key players, you know, they have a very good roster, and Mitch Trubisky should be able to navigate that schedule and be able to get to double digits in wins or at least a winning record. So that's kind of the basis of me putting the schedule together. So if they can beat the Browns, which I have the Steelers sweeping Cleveland, they win that game, ugly game. I actually have a 17-10 prediction. Then you go to New York, and New York is supposed to be better. They had a really, you know, impressive draft. They got, you know, Sauce Gardner from Cincinnati, Garrett Wilson from Ohio State, Jermaine Johnson from Florida State, running back Breece Hall. I think they're going to be a young team, a good team, a team the Steelers can't take lightly. It could certainly, you could consider this a letdown game, which I know a lot of, you know, people that are critical of Tomlin in the past have said that too often the Steelers lose games like that. Well, I have the Steelers winning that game. So they win this game. Now they're 3-1 after 4 weeks. Then they go to, Buffalo. I have them losing that game. Again, they could win that game. They've played Buffalo. This will be the fourth year in a row they've played Buffalo. They've played Buffalo pretty tough in each of the previous three games. So I could see them winning that game, but I do have it currently as a loss. You know, Tampa Bay comes in. That's really the only game on the schedule where I would just be very surprised if the Steelers won that game. Of all the games on the Steelers schedule, that's the one I'm most confident in the outcome. Unfortunately for Steelers fans, I think it's a loss. I think Tampa Bay, if both teams are healthy, their D-line is exceptional. They obviously have Tom Brady, who has had immense success against the Steelers. They have a tough running game with Leonard Fournette, who, you know, Steelers fans remember from the 2017 playoff loss to Jacksonville. Very good receivers. We don't know if Gronk is going to play this year. I tend to think he will. The defense they have is still good. Antoine Winfield Jr., the safety, you know, he's emerging as a very good, defensive back. So I like Tampa in this game. Well, that drops the Steelers to 3-3. Now they have Philadelphia, and then they have New Orleans before they go into the bye. So, you know, when you look at this game, And my thinking is this. I don't see the Steelers going into their bye with a losing record. I think, at worst, they'll be 3-5 going into the bye. I don't see them being now, I don't also really don't expect them to be 5-3 either. I think they'll be 4-4 at the bye. Mike Tomlin is very good in his career. The Steelers are very good with Mike Tomlin winning the game going into their bye. And so with that being said, after Tampa Bay, it'll be 3-3 is my projection. Now they go to Miami on Monday night. First time in Miami on Monday night since 1996. I'm sure some fans can remember the last time they were there. That was Jerome Bettis' first year in Pittsburgh. Mike Tomczak was the quarterback. He threw it the game-winning touchdown pass to Ernie Mills. I think Bettis had 100 yards in that game. The Steelers won 24-17. And this, I think, is going to be a big game for Brian Flores. I'm sure that'll be the big storylines going into that game. And I think the Steelers will win that game. Then they go to Philadelphia. I've got that, you know, as a close loss. Jalen Hurts, I would kind of put him in that Mac Jones category. You know, young quarterback, has shown a lot of potential. Both guys went to Alabama. Those are kind of coin flip games. I have them beating Mac Jones, then losing to Jalen Hurts. And then I have the Steelers at 4-4 going into the bye week. Now, again, you just heard me say Mike Tomlin's very good. And this is where I struggle with my projections is I have the Steelers losing their last game going into a bye. I don't like that. Tomlin is usually very good in these situations. That being said, I don't think they'll be 5-3 going into the bye. I think they'll either be 3-5 and 4-4. And if you're a Steelers fan, I'm telling you right now, if they're 4-4 going into the bye with the, you know, the challenges in the first half of their schedule, be happy about that. Even 3-5, it's manageable. The season is still very much out there at 3-5. If they're, you know, 2-6 at that point, not looking good. If they're 5-3, anything better than 4-4, you're playing with house money. If they're 4-4, which is where I think they'll be, you're in very good shape. And I think you'll be in good shape to win. I mean, all your goals should still be out there. Maybe not the number one seed in the AFC, but let's be honest, I don't think that's, you know, I don't think this, I think obviously the Steelers are hoping to do that, but I don't think most fans are expecting the Steelers to be in contention to get that only bye. So if they're 4-4 at that point, you got to like your chances. So after their week 9 bye, they go into Seattle. I'm calling that a loss. So now they're, you know, according to me, they're 4-5. Then they go to the Colts. They lose that game. Now they're 4-6. And that's really, you know, the hardest part of their schedule. And, you know, and I would consider Matt Ryan, you know, the next tier behind, you know, a Joe Burrow, a Deshaun Watson, a Lamar Jackson, and obviously below Tom Brady. He's that next tier. I would put him with, like, the, you know, the Mac, even though Matt Ryan's really good, I'd put him with, like, the Mac Jones or the Jalen Hurts. He's certainly a quality Pro Bowl-level quarterback that can beat you if you're not playing at your best. And so I have the Steelers losing that game. Plus the fact that yeah, I mean, the Colts are a tough team. They're a team that was going to make the playoffs last year before they lost to Jacksonville in Week 18, which allowed the Steelers to get in after Pittsburgh took care of business. And then, you know, Las Vegas was able to beat the Chargers. So at that point, they're 4-6. Then comes the easier part of the schedule. They've got Atlanta, Baltimore, Carolina. And that game against Baltimore is at home. So if they could take care of those three opponents, well, now all of a sudden they're 7-6. They have the Raiders coming to town week 16. So, you know, and that's going to be an excellent game. Las Vegas, you know, defeated the Steelers in Pittsburgh in week 2 last year. Derek Carr had a huge game. They're going to have Devontae Adams now. This is a game that may make or break the Steelers season. It'll be at night on Christmas Eve. The Steelers are going to be having the 50th anniversary of the Immaculate Reception. And again, this might be a game that comes down to, the, you know, how well the Steelers, you know, can, what the Steelers quarterback situation looks like. If Kenny Pickett and or Mr. Trubisky are really struggling at this point, the Steelers may at this point already, you know, their season may already be over. But if the Steelers still have hope at this point in the year, which I think they will, it's going to come down to the quarterback play. And Najee Harris being able to run the ball, and largely, kind of sidetrack here for a second, if there's a player on the Steelers team that's really irreplaceable, it's Najee Harris. That kind of concerns me, and it should concern Steeler fans, because if Najee Harris gets hurt and misses time, that could be the difference between the Steelers having any chance of the playoffs and not being close, is that. The ceiling at that point would go from 11 wins to 8 wins because he's just that important to the offense. It's like when Ben Roethlisberger got hurt in 2019. You go from a team that potentially had a, you know, 8 or 9, you know, 10 or 11 wins possibly to now 8 or 9 wins. So, and I actually don't even think 9. I think 8 would be the win, the ceiling if you lost Najee Harris. Now, the Steelers did bring in a running back as an undrafted rookie. They signed, and he's got some potential. And the Steelers have some other players that have some potential. But I think, you know, if they lose Najee Harris, they're in trouble. They really didn't do much to address the running back position. You know, Benny Snell is still good. You know, he's an okay player. He's a guy that you know, could potentially fill that void for 1 or 2 weeks. But he's not a long-term solution. And, you know, Anthony McFarland has shown flashes, but he's, you know, he was injured and missed most of last season. And he doesn't really give – he's just a different style of running back than Najee Harris is. So If they lose him, it's that would be a huge loss for them. But let's assume he's healthy. Let's assume that the Steelers are getting steady play from their quarterback position. This is a game that will probably make or break their season, the Raiders game. And again, I think that they win this game, which then, you know, they finish out their season with divisional teams, you know, Cleveland and Baltimore. And, you know, they'd host Cleveland and then they would go to Baltimore, like just the way they did last year. So to finish the season. So, and I think that they're capable of beating either of those teams. Again, I think a lot of it is going to come down to, this having optimism what the Steelers can do on offense. You know, if Matt Canada's offense, in my opinion, I think it's going to be successful. It's going to be a lot different than it was, under Randy Fichtner and even last year. Even though Canada was the OC, they weren't able to do a lot of what they wanted with the quarterback situation. And it wasn't just Ben, and that's not even a knock on Ben. I still think that if the Steelers had an offense catered to Ben Roethlisberger, I still think he'd be playing. I think last year he would have been a Pro Bowler or at least put up numbers to merit Pro Bowl consideration. I mean, Ben's numbers even last year weren't terrible at all. I know some of it, a lot of those numbers were put up when the Steelers were facing big deficits, like in Kansas City, in Cincinnati, in Minnesota, in Los Angeles. But still, I mean, at the end of the day, Ben's completion percentage was near his career average. He had 22 touchdowns against 10 interceptions. He threw for well north of 3,000 yards. I mean, those are all solid numbers. And he did that with a rookie left tackle, and he did that largely with rocky offensive line play. So, I just think it was really hard for the Steelers to do anything. They really didn't have an identity last year other than don't turn the ball over. Ben's going to get the ball out quickly. He's gonna take calculated risks downfield, and the offense is largely going to be based on the success of Najee Harris. I think this year they're going to rely – and Najee's still going to play a big role in the offense, but I think it's going to be mostly a spread-the-wealth offense. It's going to be quick passing, rhythm passing, rolling out, mobility with the quarterback, and that's going to be it. And I think it's going to be an exciting offense. I think George Pickens is going to add a different wrinkle to the offense, and the Steelers are hoping that he can challenge Chase Claypool for that number two receiver spot. I think Deontay Johnson has earned that and should be considered the number one receiver. But I think that largely it's going to be his job to lose, and I think largely the focus is going to be on George Pickens challenging and maybe taking some throws away from Claypool, which is something that James Washington wasn't able to do during his time with the Steelers. And then obviously Connor Haywood is going to be adding a different wrinkle to the offense as an H-back. They still have Freiermuth, who I know Steeler fans are hoping does not have the same concussion issues that he had last year and can stay healthy. And that offensive line should be a lot better with James Daniels and Mason Cole. They still have the same concerns at tackle. They did bring back a core four, which, you know, if anything, it's stability at that position. But and they're certainly hoping that Dan Moore, you know, with 1 year of experience under his belt, should be ready to go this season. So really, if you look at – so they have a lot of weapons. And I think if they buy into what Canada is selling, I think that the Steelers are going to be in good shape. The concerns are there's injuries at left tackle. The Steelers really didn't do much to address, you know, their depth at left tackle. Joe Haig, I think, is still the top backup, which is not very, you know. If I was the Steelers O-line coach, I wouldn't be sleeping well at night knowing that. But it is what it is. There's going to be holes on every roster. That's just the way that the salary cap, you know, makes it. So, but they certainly address the interior of the offensive line. I mean, Kendrick Green may not even start this year, given the fact that they went out and got Cole and they went out and got James Daniels. And I think they still have half an hour as well. So, you know, the Steelers have, you know, there's depth at the interior of the line, a lot of it. They certainly fixed that, which I think obviously that was the Steelers when they reviewed what was wrong with the offensive line last year. Apparently they thought it was more of the interior of the line and not the tackle spots. So, you know, the one thing when I watched a lot of Trubisky tape, the thing was when very similar to Baker, when they had the lead and when they were in control, he plays a lot freer and the offense moves a lot more fluid. he's not a quarterback that I'm going to have a lot of faith in rallying a team from behind. And he, and even Ben last year, you saw it in those tight games. You know, when Ben, you know, Ben could still make the throws in the shotgun with the game on the line. I don't know if Trubisky can really do that. He might be able to. But largely that also comes down to what personnel are you putting around him. I really don't like when quarterbacks get judged when they don't have much around them. So yours have put whoever's at quarterback, they put him in position largely to succeed. Again, if they have issued injuries at tackle and if they have injuries at running back with Harris, they could be in trouble as well. But if everything's healthy, I think the Steelers could certainly get to that 11-win mark. But that's going to depend on them splitting with the AFC North and beating the teams that don't have those elite quarterbacks, the Patriots, the Falcons, the Panthers. And then they're going to have to beat some really good quarterbacks like Derek Carr, Joe Burrow, Deshaun Watson at least one time. So that'll wrap up this edition of the Steel Conversation podcast. Leave a comment here on our Facebook page. Let us know if you guys liked it. Again, I have the Steelers being 11-6. A lot is going to have to go their way for that to happen. But I'm an optimistic guy, and that's what I think. And is that enough to win the division? I don't know. I mean, Bengals won it last year with a 10-7 record. I don't think it will be enough. I think Cincinnati's going to be a 12-win outfit, even though they have a really tough schedule. I think Baltimore, there's a lot of question marks with Baltimore. I have no clue what's going to happen with them. I think they could be an 8-11-win team just like Pittsburgh. They had a lot of injuries last year and still managed to get 8 wins. They were 8-3 before losing their last 6. But I think there could be a lot of drama behind the scenes there. I mean, Lamar Jackson hasn't signed a long-term deal. They haven't really done anything with the receiving core. So there's a lot of question marks there, which is another reason why I like the Steelers at 11 wins. I just think that this division is maybe not as good as a lot of people think it's going to be. I think, again, Cincinnati is still going to be a really good team. But Cleveland, I don't know if they really got better defensively. And they have question marks at receiver as well, even though they brought in Amari Cooper. I think outside of Cincinnati, the Steelers have the most complete roster in the AFC North. And for that reason, I think that they'll get to the 11-win mark, and I think that they'll be able to get a wild card spot. So thanks again for listening. Again, we hope to have you listen again here in the future as we continue to do this. And for all your news on the Steelers, keep it locked right here on Steelers on CBS Sports and the Steel Conversation podcast. Thanks again.